I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
The Square Ball Podcast.
It's the Square Ball Podcast, episode number 171 with Levi Solicitors. 10% off your legal fees when you mention the Square Ball when you inquire. It's levisolicitors.co.uk/thesquareball. I'm Dan Moylan. With me, Michael Normanton.
Hello.
Moscow White, Daniel Chapman.
Hello.
We're still on issue 6 of our magazine that came out for Bristol. 7 is in the pipeline. You can grab prints of the amazing Yorkshire Perlo cover via our website, thesquareball.net, and half-season subscriptions as well if you want to get, issues 5, 6, 7 and 8 delivered to your doorstep. Sort all that out on the website as well, thesquareball.net. Now, before we get into it good and proper, I would like to present you with a present, if I could, Michael.
Mm.
Is that okay?
Of course.
There's a plastic bag. It's got a little bit of bubble wrap in it. Something in there for you, you see?
Oh. I'll hide this from Moscow for now, actually.
Little present there, you see that?
Moscow, where do you tend to watch the games from at Elland Road?
The West Stand.
Which bit?
The top.
What would you, if you had to give that bit a name?
Maybe beginning with a letter G.
The greatest view seats there. I believe that's what everybody knows them as. I've read reading John Howe's book, The A to Z of Elland Road. I think that's what it was called back in the day. It used to be a double barrel roof, that, up there.
It did. It looked nice, actually.
Yeah, you wouldn't have had much of a view.
No.
So from where?
From sitting in a barrel roof.
So, Michael, let me just run you through some of the features there.
I can tell it's a premium item.
Listen, I've spent £6.19 from the company bank account to purchase this. And
we have a company bank account.
To purchase this. I mean, let's not get into who's paid for what, but let's look at the grandness of the gesture that I've done for this podcast, which is to provide you with feature number one, Michael, a comfortable button. You just give that a try.
Oh, yeah.
Has that good on your finger?
Yeah, it doesn't hurt.
You've not really got the technique, have you?
Doesn't hurt. I was testing for pressure to see how comfy it was.
Yeah. Feature number two is a chrome finish, which will prevent rust. So if we go into any high moisture environments, it'll be fine.
Yeah, it looks chrome. It looks a bit wonky as well, if I had to criticise it, but on a lean. But anyway, we can live with that.
Well, would you go to Pisa and say, look at your tower, it's leaning over. That's shit. And
what's the final feature?
Final feature number three, loud and clear sound.
I mean, give it here.
It feels to me like you've maybe knackered it already or it's come off its axis. Because when I used it at home, it was far better than that. Well, that's the dismissive, isn't it?
I was just seeing how it sounded when it bounced.
It's exactly the kind of attitude I'd expect from someone who thinks he's big time because he's on the gantry.
I don't think I'm big time because I'm on the gantry.
So that is the official square ball gantry gong. It is, admittedly, it is a reception bell. But so whenever Moscow name drops or mentions the G word...
I mean, it's worth, like, as I have tried to express up here, the place is festooned with debris and loose fingernails and flies. There is an area where nobody can sit because there's a light that attracts flies even in winter. So it's not a happy, sunshiny place up there.
It's not the Ben & Jerry's fridge at the Emirates, is it?
And sometimes, because Sky Sports do their score updates, the very northern end of the West End can be haunted by the likes of Michael fucking Brown. So it's not the...
Michael Brown, sorry.
Yeah, name drop, yeah, fair point.
That's not part of the... We can't ding me every time I mention a footballer and or an ex-footballer.
Right, so on with the show then anyway. So you've got that poised, Michael. Do look after it.
Yeah, we'll do.
Treasure it.
Just won't stay out.
It's our main company asset.
So what a good week it's been for Leeds United as we charge towards promotion. That's basically in the bag now, isn't it? Last night.
Yeah, I mean, I think...
Nottingham Forest couldn't beat Borough.
I was going to say, if you'd beating Middlesbrough is a prerequisite of going up. If you do that, you get promoted. I mean, admittedly, that means about there's about 20 teams need to go up.
I don't know if you saw the news, but we did that within the last week. We beat Middlesbrough.
We did.
It made me reflect a bit differently on our win there, having seen Forest struggle against them last night, you think? Because I thought at the time we should really be beating these 4-0 as we did Hull. And 1-0 felt a bit more tense than it should have done. But actually, that's fine.
The thing to remember is every other team in this division, maybe excepting West Brom, but I'm beginning to doubt them now, is a myth. We're the only real team in the English Football League Championship. All the others, they may come on strong like, oh, we're going to put a run together, we're going to charge up and overtake Leeds United. And then it all just falls apart as the tissue of lies that it is.
Because we're very good, and we discovered we're very good at the weekend against Hull with that rampaging 4-0 performance. Well, second half rampaging.
We only need to, if you rampage for 45 minutes, there's no point like that. No reason to do it for 90.
But it is quite indicative of the form and the pattern that we've followed across the season, which has been to sort of suss games out, maybe not be that great in the opening spells, and then get it figured out and just go out there and win.
And introduce someone who can score goals. And we were two up
Luke Ayling,
then.
You mean?
Luke Ayling, of course. I think it was David Gyle described his celebration as the solemn chicken, which was nice.
That was the great thing about the first half as well, was that we got an early goal. So the fact that we weren't brilliant, we weren't top notch, we weren't rewriting the rules of football.
All dealt with.
Yeah, it didn't matter because we were ahead. So it was all absolutely fine.
And Pablo was within a few inches of putting his two up in the opening 10 minutes as well, which would have been... We would probably have opened the floodgates sooner, because in the second half it was just a matter of how many we were going to score as soon as that second went in.
The list of chances in the 15 minutes between the second and third, I sort of wrote them all down just straight in my match report for the square ball, and it's absurd. And I tied it up, if you count the shots on target that were good saves, it's not like we were fluffing them. The half volley from Costa was a good save, and the one that he dinged at the near post was a decent save. There was one from Click where it was going in the bottom corner, and that was another good save. Their goalkeeper, worth a cheeky bit if they go down and we need a new one. And then hitting the bar and stuff, 10-0 was my reasonable scoreline. And I'm not even saying that that's ostentatious, arrogant Leeds United, we win every game 10-0. We could have easily won that game 10-0.
Well, 8-0 wouldn't have flattered us at all in the end, would it? The number of chances we had.
Why reduce it? 10 would have been absolutely fine. And that's me counting properly, good saves, hitting the post, the ones that we scored, not counting half chances or anything silly, 10 goals.
You can, in that case, you can give Hull one because they hit the post too.
No, that was rubbish.
Well, I just wanted to be kind and be a little bit more considerate towards the feelings of the Humberside Tigers, that was all.
I was going to go with the fish thing because they've got no memories, but I suppose Tigers do... What's the kids' storybook about Tigers?
Tiger came to tea.
I was thinking about them being better looking. That's a Gene Reese book. We're going off beam.
We? Are we? Who's the we here?
Someone ding me out. I'm going on.
I tried, in the hope that they'd be upset about this, I listened to the whole version of the highlights to hope they were upset, but he just sounded like he loved us a bit.
You know, when the fourth one, was it, no.
Well, the only way, because I was even wondering if it was third-party commentary, because he didn't have much of a Hull accent, but then he talked about a flirted ball.
Flirted back first.
It was
first.
Flirted in, and I thought, there he is. He is from Hull. He's been disguising it until now.
Presumably then he went and got a drink, a can of Kirk.
Kirk, five cans of Kirk. I know there are a lot of Leeds fans from Humberside.
But
you can't speak properly. So.
And you could move. You could move. And
yeah, for the sake of your children. Get them out of that hellhole. But he just sounded like, the Harrison goal, which was, we probably need to cover individually because it was so good. He was just like, oh yeah, that was really, really a good move, wasn't it?
The Harrison goal, you mean the third one?
The Harrison move.
Well, let's break that move down.
I'm trying to credit Harrison with a goal because he deserved one, but yeah, he didn't score, did he? It was Tyler Roberts.
Everything but, bless him.
Break that goal down just for a second. When you see first of all, the Bielsa overload where they've got three onto the one who's going to lose that ball. No crunching tackle.
I think an overload's more of an attacking thing. This was pressing.
No, they do defensive overloads as well. Three on one is an overload, isn't it? Overloaded their attacker with our defenders.
You'd more commonly talk about it in attack.
It looked like an overload to me.
All right.
So I know that's what Marcel...
Sorry, the sugar babes, all of them at once. If anybody knows an overload when they see one.
Okay, I've just got the reference now. Yeah, well done. Anyway, so we pressed them with three men and thus overloaded them.
Yes.
won the ball back. No crunching tackle, though. This is the way the game seems to have gone now, and it seems really well suited to this kind of tactic where three of them just crowded him out, got the ball.
Has anybody told Pablo Hernandez crunching tackles are outlawed? I actually, I'm sorry to interrupt the conversation about the goal, and this won't work at all in the format of a podcast, but after that one we talked about on the match ball where he lay down to score, I did when I rewatched the second half, or well, the whole game actually. Let's have a little look. Tackling with Pablo Hernandez. We'll just record your reaction to that one. I mean, come on, Pablo. What are you? And then here we go. Rubby. And then there's the...
Oh, he just lost his foot in there. No malice.
Swinging his leg around like he's breakdancing rather than tackling. And then that lovely one where he gave away the free kick on the edge of our area and he's turned to the referee. Now, come on. I won the ball here. Pablo, you just kicked him, really.
Knee high.
Yes.
So yes, the overload slash press slash Bielsa ball third goal, which was just wonderful. The more you watch it, every time I went and watch it, I go, oh God, yeah, that's so good.
We were going move by move. We got as far as winning the ball. I don't mind spending an hour on this.
Yeah. So we won the ball back and then Jack Harrison dinks it inside to Stuart Dallas.
I thought it was Matt Click. I gave Click the credit on the match ball. So I apologise to Stuart Dallas and nominate Matches Click as a villain for impersonating him.
You're the villain, really, aren't you?
Yeah, probably.
So he knocks it inside to Stuart Dallas. And at that point, you're thinking, ah, you could go for a nice, easy layoff there, couldn't you, Stewie? But no, what did Stewie do?
Give him it back.
It was a lovely, wasn't it? That spin from the outside of the right foot. But then I think...
It's like the Cafu thing is going to his head, but now he thinks he's Ronaldinho.
Strange to mention Cafu, actually, for the extra ball... We're talking about Leeds beating Roma, who he didn't play in this game, actually, in that game because he was injured. But having seen the way our fullbacks played in that David O'Leary team, which was a good team, everyone agreed, there's not a chance they would have done this. Ian Hart would have been banging that up the line every time because that's all fullbacks did in that team. Yeah. This is amazing that we actually are in the Championship and doing this. Try and conceive of that, even the very first bit of this move, try and conceive of that happening with Neil Warnock or Steve Evans in charge.
The other thing to note is that our... fullback, as you're referring to him, was playing in midfield. So imagine a scenario when David O'Leary goes, Ian, just go into central midfield, will you? All right, Harty. Good job. Good luck.
And then go for some technical and tight interplay when surrounded by, and I can see 1, 2, 3, 4 men in the shot here. Just amazing. It is. And it's
well, I mean, he wouldn't have been able to run away from them, would he?
Well, it's goals like this where sometimes you get that, I get that transcendence when I think about Bielsa and you just go, this is, it's just amazing.
We've not even given the ball to Tyler Roberts. Yeah, because that's what happens
mate,
next.
I'm not even on to Jack Harrison's move. Jack Harrison, the way that he takes the touch from Stuart Dallas and cuts inside, takes out three men. He takes out three men.
What's Spanish for El First Touch?
I think you've just done it there.
Jackie Harrison's special, primera skill.
Tocha.
that's correct.
Tocha. See you.
But yeah, I mean, the way he just cuts inside, and if he takes that touch slightly differently and opens his body out and goes down the line, he's running himself into a blind alley, but he cuts inside, takes out three men, Moscow. He takes out three men. Tres. And then just pops it inside to Tyler Roberts.
That daft bastard's right, you know. El primer toque.
There you go.
I assume it's toque. Well, let's get the...
El primer toque.
There we go.
That's what I said, toque, more or less.
Yeah. Jackie Harrison, as his mum and dad call him.
And then, yeah, so he pops it inside to Tyler Roberts. And it just got even better from there. We just go expansive over to the right-hand side.
This is another one where, in my memory of watching it happen live, I thought the way the player with the ball turned, ran inside, looked at the way the pitch was opening up and played a perfect pass out to Helder Costa. Well done, Pablo Hernandez. That was very good. And then looked at it on the replay. I was like, fucking hell, Tyler Roberts, our new number 9 wearing number 11. That's really good. That's very good football. And I'm trying not to mention Pat Bamford's name in this part, but when we talk about the work being done outside the penalty area being one of the big benefits of having Pat Bamford in the team, I'm going to say this on halfway was very good. And then when you consider who then put the ball in the net.
He was very direct from Roberts as well, because he could have... We always get accused of slagging up Bamford. I think Bamford has a bit of a tendency sometimes to hold the ball for too long in these positions, whereas Roberts saw what was on and straight away gave it, and then straight away he got himself in a position where he could actually score a goal from.
And he did spray that ball out to Costa, did really well. And by hanging on to it, as he did as well, drew all the defence across. Admittedly, they were outnumbered.
It was very...
due to an overload.
It was very schoolboyish defending as well. I did see it pointed out that there were like 6 whole players all around the man with the ball. It was very... set under 8s kind of football.
But Helder read that brilliantly by seeing that they're all running back. So stop, check back and pass behind them. not trying to get a ball in front of anybody in the six-yard box, passed behind them, and they didn't have a fucking clue what was going on at that point. They're all spinning around like whirligigs.
It was Ephemeral Joy on Twitter. I know he noticed their right-back's reaction as well to thinking he was tracking his runner, because I think he was keeping an eye on maybe Harrison or Dallas, and then he realised Matt Click was about 30 yards in front of him and realises this just as Click's about to receive the ball and goes from a gentle jog to a sprint because he's like, oh shit, how has he got there? He's in my space.
Oh, I'm in for a bollocking on Monday.
It's worth dwelling just before we get to the finish, rewinding 3 minutes when we almost had a goal that was just as much of a classic. The break when Hull had that free kick that Pablo gave away and our wall was Matt Click, Jackie Harrison, no, it was Helder Costa and Tyler Roberts. And the free kick was shot into the wall. And then the three of them led that breakaway, which if Harrison had just managed to get that cross past the defender, it's not often that you just have the three players in a defensive wall and then within the blink of an eye are in the opposition penalty area scoring a brilliant breakaway goal. And they've all had a touch as well. I think it went something like Harrison, Costa, Harrison, Roberts, and then back to Harrison, and then... if only he'd got that cross. You could see, the Sky commentators always apologise for the language you hear from the stands. They didn't seem to mind the camera focusing on Jackie as he turned to the Sky. They went, for fuck's sake!
But, he knew, didn't it? But it's just a reminder of how completely sublime some of the football we play is, and I absolutely love it, and it feels so special.
And we only had to wait 3 minutes for this.
Yeah, so anyway, we're Helder Costa cutting back onto his left foot and then pinging it across the edge of the area to Click. And you said in the match ball that you maybe thought that Click should have turned and popped that off. But actually, when you look at how it arrived and his body shape, he did the right thing.
Yeah, the slow motion replays will do that for you. I watched that video of people watching it in Melbourne, and when Click gets the ball, you hear everybody starts cheering as if he's going to shoot and score. So I think everybody apart from Matt Click thought, right, he takes a touch and buries this. But no, he takes a touch and...
Well, he killed it right into the path. And it did, you're right as well, what you said on the match ball. It did rise slightly. It wasn't a perfect ball, but you know that's whole shit pitch, isn't it? It's the weather by the coast.
Yeah, it was,
you know, rubbish.
Bouncing across a beach, effectively, wasn't
bloody Humberside. Yeah, so he just laid it back across.
It's a rugby pitch.
And he's like, either one of you two can have this because we're so good. I'll line this up for not just one striker, but two.
And you were both in the corner a minute ago, so you deserve to score.
Yeah, and Tyler Roberts, great finish on his left foot.
Well, he's a striker. That's why he shot that ball in the net instead of Stuart Dallas, because he saw the ball and he went, I'm going to score a goal because I am a striker.
Also,
I also
want to give a mention to Helder Costa and that goal that he nearly scored as well on the left-hand side, quite close range, when he did that thing with his feet where he switched it from his right foot to his left and just, again, took two men out just from doing that, just from moving it from one foot to the other. And that deserved the goal. I was so willing that to go in because it's these moments where you just go, oh, that's just so good.
It's starting to look good, Helder Costa.
Yeah, he's getting there, isn't he?
Mm. Apart from at halftime when I wanted him taken off because I thought he'd been terrible. Strange. He's a strange player. He's getting there. He can just do some really good stuff, can't he? But even when he's having a bad game, he's a bit... In the same ways, you can like leave Pablo on in the faith that he'll eventually do something good. I think Costa's starting to grow into that a bit.
Yeah, we're certainly seeing his value, I think. He's such an intelligent player, isn't he, in terms of how he creates space and just beats people.
Yeah, what he did for the goal of passing across to Click was, it's not the immediately obvious option. It was a very good one.
It was the best one.
Mm.
Because it resulted in a goal. And actually, when you factor in all the other stuff that happened at the weekend, another bloody good weekend.
We're not even going to talk about the diving header.
I mean, I think we should, because I've noticed something about the diving header since that, again...
That he was offside, which makes it even better.
He wasn't offside. He would have been VAR offside.
He's VAR offside.
We're playing football in this division.
He was a pubic hair offside.
Yeah, it just doesn't matter. Was that... And it's hard to phrase this without it sounding like criticism of Bamford, but let's just celebrate the fact that Tyler Roberts did it. Bamford has a tendency, and I don't know if it's to do with his confidence or just the way he plays, of kind of watching what happens. And so that's why the ball is constantly going out wide and then being crossed back into him, and he's kind of behind the defender going like, well, if the ball comes across the box, I'll be ready for it. When Click got that ball in midfield, Tyler Roberts points at the penalties, put the ball in there. And I think otherwise, Click might have gone, right, this goes out wide to Costa or it goes to wherever. But instead, he thought, oh.
Yeah, the decision's been made for him, hasn't
it? That's a really good idea, Tyler. So I'll give you an absolutely gorgeous chip right into your path.
Almost nonchalant.
Mm-hmm. And you can dive, and it was almost a nonchalant header. And the reason I was comparing it to Van Persie's header at the weekend, of course, is because this was better. It puts that scum bastard back in his box because he's been eclipsed by Tyler Roberts.
I'm glad you've had 3 days to revise that that faux pas.
Nobody needs to ever mention his name again.
I'm glad you brought it up in the first place.
He's been ruled out of the history books.
The lexicon.
I'm glad you don't support Manu anymore.
That's good to know. Yeah, I was just going to say before, and not a bad weekend, all things considered. Like Brentford chucking away a 2-goal lead against Cardiff. Who'd do that? West Brom losing 1-0 at home to Wigan. Ditto. Idiots.
Yeah, and Bristol dropping points away at Millwall as well. Only shit teams do that.
The Wigan goal against West Brom looked a right painful one as well. It's kind of pinging around in the box and somebody leathers it in the last minute. And you can see the West Brom players flat on the backs going, oh, fuck, we're going to finish third.
Fulham did win, but it was against Preston, who now they seem to be well out of the running now, Preston.
Yeah, shit like that's going to happen.
I mean, a few weeks ago, Preston were like within a few points of us. It felt like anyone in the playoffs could catch us, whereas now they're nowhere near.
They are all myths. So what I keep saying is they all be like, oh yeah, we're going to be the team to overtake them and finish top two. You're not. You're just not.
Quite remarkable. I mean, I'm just looking at the table here. Sheffield Wednesday now 20 points behind us. 20 points.
That is as good as it's going to get for them as well.
Add another 21.
Because they are pretty soon going to be looking up from the very bottom of the league.
And Leeds are falling apart again and all that. So yeah, I want to draw your attention to this one. 538.com, if you go on that website, projects.538.com, they've got a bunch of predictions. What they do is they run really complex algorithms that predict matches and scores and outcomes. And I was reading about how they weight stuff, and it seems pretty technical. And it has this thing called the Soccer Power Index, which I like. And they now have us as a 96% probability of getting promoted. This is prior to last night's game, I should add as well.
It is worth pointing out, though, that in the last, they predict game by game, and so you can check, and in the last round of 12 over the weekend, three of their predictions were right. They predict Leeds win, Fulham win, and Huddersfield win were the only ones that they actually got correct. Their model, although it turned out to be reasonable in the results, their prediction for the Middlesbrough Forest game was a 42% chance of victory for Middlesbrough, 31% for the draw, 27% to Forest, which, you know, okay, it turned out to be a draw and Middlesbrough did almost win, so that was almost, you know, perhaps there is some power behind that algorithm. But also, if you'd seen that before the game, you'd think that was absolutely mad. Even Jonathan Woodgate would be all good. Your algorithm's laying 42% chance being for us. Norman.
I mean, this is the guy who falls back on whoscored.com quite a lot.
Well, they're proven. I mean, what's Nate Silver's record? It's getting elections wrong.
To be perfectly honest, the reason
we'd have Hillary Clinton would be the president right now if Nate Silver was right.
The only reason why I mentioned this, Nate Silver behind this, is it? Who's Nate Silver?
Yes, he's the guy who founded 538. It started as a, I can't remember if it started as sport or politics, but he's been doing this for a long time and for a while was brilliant. And it's like anything when you're doing predictive stuff, real life will make a fool of you. It is interesting though, but I thought it's worth balancing with the fact that he got the last round of games.
Well, the only reason why I mentioned it really was because they've got us down as a 96% probability of getting promoted and 64% probability of winning the division over West Brom at 33.
Well, that's where he's wrong as well, because both of those are 100% probabilities. So I don't know what model he's using.
Is the person running this website a billionaire?
He's very, ABC, he's very successful.
ABC News have picked it up. It's theirs now, isn't it?
If it's true, then surely, and he has faith in his algorithm, surely he's like, well, in that case, if it's 96%, I can just put all my money on Leeds to be promoted and that will be returning me a fortune in the next couple of weeks.
Which actually circles back nicely to the reason why I mentioned this and why I've put it on the sheet is because I want to see what you think about it. I just mainly put it on Moscow to terrify Michael.
I'd give us about a 40% chance of going up.
Well, Phil LUFC on Twitter, who's been doing lots of great maths around all this sort of stuff, says 23 points guarantees us promotion now out of the remaining 30, regardless of what anybody else does, as long as we beat Fulham within that 23 points. In essence, though, I think, based on my own calculations, 6 wins will take us up out of the remaining 10, because that would leave all the other teams needing really, really massive swings. Like, for example, if we did that, Preston and all the teams below couldn't catch us. Brentford would need to get 10 out of 10. Forest would need 27 points.
They're not going to do that.
So that's 9 wins out of 10 they would need if we got 6.
I don't think any of the other teams are going to win any more games.
Well, some of them are playing each other.
Yeah, they'll both lose.
But, that Fulham game does it is shaping up to be, well, to call it the decider. It's premature, but it feels huge.
You mean the decider for whether we finish above West Brom in first? Because how far ahead of Fulham could we be by the time that game kicks off? We've got two games each ahead, is that right?
Mm-hmm.
And so if you add, I can't actually see how many points we've got, but it's a million, isn't it? Haven't we got a million points?
We're 5 points clear of Fulham at the moment.
And we have, so we could be 11 points clear of them when we kick off against them. Is that right?
We could be.
5 plus 6.
Yes.
Well, there we go.
Wow.
And then it's fucking irrelevant. We can just let them win.
I mean, the truth of the matter is, if we win 6 games, even if they do beat us, we'll probably still go up.
Yeah. It's good, isn't it?
It is good. No, it is good. I am happy with this. As much as it may not appear so, I'm very happy with the way this has gone in the last few weeks. And unlike last season as well, having West Brom within a point of us and feeling like they're slipping up a bit as well, I don't know, it feels like we're no longer chasing second place with someone else. We're fighting for the title with someone else.
Mm.
Which is more fun, isn't it?
I mean, the phrase that cursed us last season was when we sat here and said it's going to be very interesting to see how we fuck it up from here. It's the opposite. It's going to be very interesting to see how many points we win the league by.
Though, just to bring us back down with a bit of a bump, this point, 36 games played last year, we were only 2 points clear of Sheffield United. But equally, we were only 2 behind Norwich, and we finished miles behind them in the
end. But equally as well, we were dicking around like idiots for the rest of the season.
We were, yeah.
Matt Click, in his interview last week, kind of, and a lot of them have referred to learning from last season. I think the fact that we've had the blip happened when it happened over the few weeks that have gone, rather than it being something that, when it started taking a grip of us last season with the Sheffield United game and the Norwich and Wigan and stuff, there wasn't time to turn it around. It was just panic. Just, we're losing this and there's no time to save it. Whereas it's happened, we lost some games, nearly lost our second place, but with plenty of time left in the season, just go, right, get a grip on this. Bielsa's had his speech after the Nottingham Forest game, when instead of putting them through a video of it, just yelled Vamos Carajo at them for an hour or whatever it was. And that's done the trick and it's got them all focused again. And if it's one thing, all the players have been very certain that they learned something from last year. And that's what Ayling, after the Middlesbrough game, he said he checked the Champions League scores but didn't look at the Championship until somebody told him what the other scores had been. He's just like, he said, last year we were spending a lot of time looking at what other teams are doing. This year, if we win, I don't mind. We're in much better shape than we were.
Friday morning, 5 a.m. UK time is when the next Phil Hayes show lands. We'll be previewing Huddersfield and the promotion race, and we'll get Phil's take on the Kassir situation if we have anything further to go on by that point. You can get that podcast wherever you found this one, or you can listen to it ad-free along with all the other Athletic podcasts via the Athletic app, and all Phil's articles are on there on the Athletic too, so no ads, no pop-ups, and no clickbait. And this week, you can read about Bielsa's yellow cards, because he's been a very naughty boy in that dugout, hasn't he, Marcelo Bielsa, getting told off again at the weekend in Hull. Erling Haaland as well, there's going to be something on him this week, and further in-depth coverage, as we mentioned there, about Kassir's ban.
If the Erling Haaland story isn't, he is signing for Leeds for free, I don't want to read it.
One day, sunshine, one day.
Just let Phil know.
There is also sport from across the globe and loads more football coverage on The Athletic. Free trial with 50% off a sub by going to theathletic.co.uk/thesquareball. Well, as we've skirted around there, Kiko Kassir, at the time of recording, it's 11 o'clock Tuesday morning. We still don't have any further information. So, well, let's talk about other stuff that's bothering the authorities at the minute. Then we've got profit and sustainability and salary caps that are being talked about. It does feel like profit and sustainability is finally showing its teeth a little bit, doesn't it, with regards to like Derby and Sheffield Wednesday. And, I mean, this might be coincidence, but there's this little story circulating around Nottingham Forest now as well.
This actually is a good example of the way football fans will as well just argue whatever they want to believe on something, because there's this story about the chief financial officer has left Nottingham Forest, and the headline in the Nottingham Post said days before the latest accounts due to be released, and all the Forest fans underneath was going, this is clickbait, this is nonsense, there's nothing in this, I'm sure it's absolutely fine, why are you doing this? And I think this morning, actually, just as before we've come in here, the figures have actually come out and they are losing a shitload of money.
That's why they've gone then, is it?
Well, we don't know why they've gone, but the two things have happened at the same time. So, you know.
Cause and effect.
I mean, rarely does a financial director leave when it's not something to do with something financial. You would expect.
Yeah, Nottingham Forest, just looking through Kieran Maguire on Twitter, if you want to look at the full details of this. Nottingham Forest lost £36 million from day-to-day operations in 2018-19. Over the decade, Forest have had an income of £182 million and a wage bill of £251 million, which doesn't sound good.
Football's knackered, isn't it?
Yep, and they also he does also have a point out that Forest's operating losses are also mid-table in the car crash that is the Championship. So they're not even that bad, like compared to everyone else.
I mean, we may slug off that wage bill, but they've had some outstanding players in that time, haven't they?
Sam Byram.
Yes, probably the best of them.
And this salary cap, I guess, which flows from that, somebody's talking of a £20 million cap for Championship squads.
Yeah, the Championship clubs are all trying to sort out a new version of profit and sustainability, and a £20 million salary cap is one thing. They've not agreed anything. I've mainly put it on our notes so we can laugh at it, because it's not going to be our fucking problem. Just tell us about the Premier League rules and I'll take a fucking interest. I hope whoever we send, I assume we send Angus Kinnear to these things, hope he's in full on sassy mode, just going like, if there's anything I can advise you on, but it's not going to be our problem. We're just sitting there with a big briefcase full of, I'm just clearing some space in here for all the money I'm going to be putting in it when we're promoted.
I mean, if a £20 million wage cap was brought in, just because from these same tweets, there's a chart with Championship wages on, all but seven teams are currently spending more than £20 million. Villa last year spent £73.1 million on wages.
They are in trouble when they come down.
Stoke nearly went down with a wage bill of £56 million last year. So I think there's some problems. Ours is relatively mid-table at £31
million. Turning this serious discussion of football finances and sustainability and fiscal responsibility into just pure Schadenfreude and mockery. What a joy it was. Well, I don't know if it was a joy. Jack Grealish crying or lying on the floor pretending to cry at the end of the League Cup final.
Jack Grealish on the floor rolling around.
Well, pretty
not for the first time.
Pretty much, but he'd wait until after the match. There was one during the game that I spotted where he went flipping around. But yeah, I couldn't work out whether I was glad to see him upset or angry, because I think he was faking it. Because I think he was just like, oh no, the Villa have lost. But he actually doesn't even give a fuck. He doesn't care.
He'll be off in the summer.
Yeah, exactly. It doesn't matter. But he has to be, he's one of these who he has to be seen to be, and there was people trying to pick
him up. It's like the stuff you said about Pontus in the past, about he needs to physically express his sadness so everyone understands that he's sad.
His sadness was always real, whereas Jack Grealish is like, no, because I need to look like I actually give a fuck about this. It's the League Cup. You don't fucking care. The City players don't care that they won. It doesn't matter. But yeah, so all that emotion and blah.
For the record, I'd like to win the League Cup.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you wouldn't mind if you lost. I mean, I
think I would, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I did that in 1996. It was shit.
Yeah, I'm regretting the path I've gone down here.
I was really pleased to see Villa lose, though, because of 1996.
Yeah.
Not that I hold a grudge or anything.
But, and I think what it is with Jack Grealish is I just don't believe he's sincere in anything that he says, does, or thinks.
I was thinking, actually, watching the start of that, how different it was from 1996, when I believe there was like a brass band on the pitch, and then I think maybe a royal came out and shook the player's hand. This time it was like booming music, and then some blokes from Carabao came out and shook hands with people, and you thought, oh.
Fireworks
and something. Our football has changed a bit in those since we've been away.
From Coca-Cola to Carabao. Is this the civilization you wanted? Call this progress.
Even more caffeine. What next?
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra.
and UnitedHealthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Updates now on the Blasphemy Baton / Booze Baton / Sangria Stick. This is growing into taking on a life of its own, isn't it?
I'm lost. I just need to like sit and listen to this for the next few minutes.
All right, so let's reset then. So Eden J. Harris, if you want to follow this one, he's the guy on Twitter who's tracking it.
Who must have a brain like the size of an asteroid belt to keep track of everything that's happening and whizzing around.
In short, so this is the location of our end of season promotion party. Started in Leeds, start of the season. First team to beat us was Stoke, so they took it and it's gone from team to team. Thusly, the baton got split into two after Atletico Madrid beat Liverpool.
Did Chris Akabusi smash it into Roger Black?
Something like that.
Quite an allegation.
So we now have a domestic booze baton and the European sangria stick. Now, we did get a text on our number. Jack texted us to say, I feel like the sangria stick should be named the sangria staff because it feels more biblical.
I can go with it.
I quite like that. But we should put it to Eden because he's obviously the guy who's in charge of it. Mm-hmm. So let's deal first of all with the sangria stick. Atletico beat Liverpool and then Villarreal, and then they drew with Espanyol, and they've got Sevilla on Saturday before they face Liverpool again. So if they hang on to it, there is a chance it could come back to Liverpool, which we'll deal with in a second.
And the sangria stick, that's now the premier.
Yeah, it's the authentic one, isn't it?
Yeah, that's the real one. So ideally, if it comes back to England and Liverpool regain it, that kicks out the other one.
Yeah, then we get rid of the domestic one.
Yeah.
But we're just giving ourselves as many options as possible, aren't we?
And we need options because at the moment, the booze baton is in Watford, which we really can't have,
can we? Yeah, fuck that.
So, you know, hopefully, I'm kind of hoping Liverpool do win it back now, just so we don't have to go to Watford, because no one needs that.
Equally, you can't imagine they would go unbeaten for the remainder of the season.
True enough.
One name keeps coming up with regards to Watford, and I'm not talking about Watford Gap Services, which is a good hour's drive away from actual Watford.
And speaks bitter experience by the sounds of it.
Prism.
Pardon me?
Prism.
Oh, Prism.
Not Prison, that's Watford, but Prism is the nightclub within it, is the one that keeps coming up. Now, worth adding that there's one of those in Leeds, isn't there? So
there is, I've been to once.
And it's a dreadful place. So it would feel like a busman's holiday, wasn't it? And I've worked in some dreadful nightclubs. So Prism, Watford awaits, and loads of one-star reviews that we've turned up.
I don't want to go there because Lucy Hansard's review said, the staff are so rude and helpful, they're literally not human.
Rude and helpful?
Rude and unhelpful.
Oh, okay.
But it's more the fact that they are literally not human is worrying me. I'm not quite sure what the arrangement is there. There are much better places to go in Watford anyway that are fun and friendly.
And have literal humans.
And have literal humans working there.
As opposed to metaphorical ones.
Indeed. And someone's put Hannah N, who has, I think, probably quite low expectations of a place. Worst place to spend your money on, don't do it, find another place. Imagine if you had to choose between Ferrero Rocher chocolate and Aldi brand chocolate. This club is Aldi brand.
Don't mind Aldi brand.
And Ferrero Rocher, you can get them in the pound shop. I mean, you need to aim higher, Hannah.
But you have to have proof of an ambassador's residence before they will allow you to take it home with you.
My favourite one of these is the one that comes from MD. Had my grandfather's empty hip flask confiscated and informed I would be able to collect it in the morning, only to return and be told they had lost it. Furious isn't the word.
I mean, fancy a nightclub not being more accommodating if you're bringing your own drinks in.
It's empty. It's an empty hip flask.
But it was by the time they found it.
If you caught last week's podcast, we mentioned planning for the future with the good folks at Levi Solicitors, which can involve some rather difficult and emotional conversations with loved ones. You will be able to write your own...
I'm going to Madrid on holiday.
I think you'd say I've lost granddad's empty hip flask.
You will be able to write your own punchlines for this one at the end of it, so stick with it. I was going to say the one big thing to consider in the future planning is lasting power of attorney. It's called LPA. It's a document basically that allows somebody to deal with your affairs if you are unable to make your own decisions, for example, due to an accident, injury, illness, trip to Madrid, that sort of thing. An LPA, it means somebody's ready to make decisions on your behalf, whether it's health or well-being or about your financial affairs. And because it is, it's a difficult thing to think about. A lot of people will put these things off until older age. But you just don't know what's around the corner. So our partner on the podcast, Levi Solicitors, they have a specialist team who deal with all this stuff. And there's a really lovely guy, Andrew, who is a member of Solicitors for the Elderly and is a dementia friend as well, will take care of all these areas of future planning for you. As we mentioned last week, they also look after wills as well as probate and care home fees and stuff like that. There's a free initial consultation on wills. And of course, you get 10% off your legal fees for mentioning the Square Ball. You can call them directly on 0113-297-3194. Head to levisolicitors.co.uk/thesquareball. To the weekend then, as we continue our march towards the top, Huddersfield at home Saturday, 3 points. Should be, shouldn't it?
Yeah, we'll beat them.
Should be.
It's fine.
You've got quite blasé at this stage of the season now.
Well, we're playing shit. Against shit, I mean. It's a matter of, it's the Cowley brothers again, isn't it? So it's Big Cowley and Little Cowley having their little squabbles in the dugout about who's allowed to go and shake hands with Marcelo Bielsa and who has to stand behind looking like a third Neville brother. Yeah, I mean, okay, they won 4-0 last weekend against the future manager of Leeds United, Lee Bowyer's Charlton. That's that just gives them the confidence.
Huddersfield fans will be claiming that as a victory against Leeds anyway, won't they?
Just gives them the confidence to turn up at Leeds and go, you know what, let's build on that. Let's not go all out defensive. Let's attack them from the start.
I think they should do that, and then we can then trounce them.
My concern here is that, as we've discussed many a time, this is their big game, and it's also the big game for the Cowley brothers as well. This is their, you know, the championship manager players, aren't they, more or less, who've been somehow allowed to manage a championship team. And this is, they've probably been planning this like all year. I'm not focused on any other game, I wouldn't have thought, so they might have a system in place for this.
I mean, the thing is, though, that because they are having to still, I mean, they've got a 4-point cushion now to Middlesbrough, but even still, that can be eliminated very, very quickly.
Well, now Middlesbrough have come into some form, haven't they?
But even still, it's close enough that you're going to be looking over your shoulder, so they are hopefully going to be more concentrating on the fact that they are hovering around the exit trapdoor or the gurgling around the plug hole, whichever way you want to phrase it.
Difference from hovering around the arse of a dog, doesn't it?
It does. However, they are...
Good one.
Thanks.
What I was going to say was, child, what I was going to say was, all that well thought out stuff about the FA and the racism, and you make a dog sex joke. They're going to have
a very podcast.
On the balance of probability, Huddersfield fans do interfere with dogs.
Yeah, so what I was saying was they're going to be looking over the shoulder, so they can't really afford to play the occasion too much, can they? They need to get a win.
I mean, it shouldn't be an occasion.
I mean, they'd completely love a draw in this game. Let's not pretend they need a win out or want a win out of this. A draw would be delightful for them in this, and I think that's how they'll set out to play. They'll go for set pieces and 10 men behind the ball.
How was this ever a Premier League club? Was it all just Andrew Hughes?
Do you know, weirdly, because my brother-in-law's a Huddersfield fan, I saw him on the weekend and I was like, "What? I can't remember when we played you at home last year. What was the score?" And he's like, "We were in the Premier League." I was like, "Oh, yes."
So you were. I've been looking at their form and they concede a lot of late goals. We score a lot of late goals.
Helps.
And if they do set out and do what you suspect there, which is the men behind the ball, it might end up being a late goal or two or three or four.
I mean, they can put players behind the ball, but they're all rubbish.
Are they?
Yeah, I mean, I don't even know who they are, so I'm just assuming they are. A player called Toffolo, we're back to kids' books again, aren't we?
That's the Gruffalo, I think you're...
Well, so they've got the Gruffalo at left back.
in a deep, dark wood.
They've got Boss Hogg in midfield, the mid-90s band. Andy O'Brien's brother playing behind...
Stop, this is no good.
Okay. Should we talk about what whoscored.com says about them?
Yeah.
They are very strong at creating chances through individual skill, which tells me that they can't play as a team. And they're also very just strong at creating chances using through balls. Like, I don't know if that's different to actually successfully playing them, but they use them. Maybe they just batter them at defenders. Their weaknesses are defending set pieces, which...
Our strong point.
we are good at them now. Like Jackie Harrison dribbling in and shooting, not a problem. They're also weak at avoiding individual errors and weak at defending against skillful players. And if there's one thing Leeds United have a lot of, it's skillful players from front to back. So they're fucked.
Do you fancy a win on this one, Michael? I know it feels awful trying to predict wins now because we know we should win this and there's so much at stake.
I can't argue against us winning this other than I think we won't win it. I don't know why. I can't explain why I think we might not win this.
But you think we won't win anything.
That's correct.
Does it help if I tell you that their style includes playing the offside trap? Imagine them keeping a high line.
Is Pat Bamford starting?
Against Helder Costa, and Tyler Roberts has come on. So,
okay, you're talking me into it.
I mean, there is a serious question, actually, there. Let's do some football rather than just this bullshit.
There's no point. Bamford starts.
Yeah, it's irrelevant.
Bamford starts. 100% he starts.
Does he?
Yeah.
There's not even a case for it?
Oh, there's a very strong case, but are you going to go and tell Marcelo Bielsa?
Maybe we can get Phil to ask him about it on Thursday and see his reaction.
He probably will. He'll name the team. It might be one of those where, just to cut off any bullshit, somebody says, what's the team news going to be? Is there any fitness worries? And he says, well, Tyler Roberts will not play because he's in the hospital. And we wish him all the best with his recovery. No,
he has a kick.
He'll stick with Bamford, but it's a matter of how... Well, it's only Huddersfield, so maybe Bamford can get some tap-ins in the first half. But there was a time when Bielsa was up for bringing on Nketiah at half-time, you know, that kind of early sub. If we can encourage him to do it after maybe half an hour, 20 minutes, get Tyler on.
Do you think getting that early goal is what we need now? Is this the thing? Because we've got our mojo back.
There was the stat flashed up on the screen against Hull that when we take the lead, we win every game.
And even if we don't take the lead until like near the end of the match, because we are good at defending, we don't often go behind. Certainly an early goal helps, but I think what really helps is that we're really fucking good at football. Mm. And that kind of tends to overrule all the other factors.
And I feel weirdly, for all we've talked about the rights and wrongs of it, having Kiko out of the way, it feels kind of nice. Because I've been worried about him constantly in the last few weeks. So having him not there with all that pressure on his head, which has been a double pressure, I suppose, with the fact he keeps fucking things up and also has had these allegations hanging over him. I don't know, Meslier, I'm just happier with him there.
He's carefree, isn't he? I mean, we saw him on the bus to Hull. Admittedly, Kiko Casilla was in happier days then because he's pretending to lick his face. But, you know, just resting beautifully, sleeping. And he does seem to be a... It's his birthday today, as a matter of fact. Or no, I think it was yesterday. And his Instagram story is full of best wishes from players at Lorient and photographs of him as a youngster. And he seems to be a bit of a figure of fun at Thorpe Arch. Barry Douglas was slagging him off for wearing a Burberry shirt, open over a white T-shirt, I think.
Barry Douglas making fun of him.
Well, you know, but...
Like he was without sin.
He's got that little bit of... relaxation about him. He's really got nothing to worry about because he's playing behind a really good defence. He's not got any of the baggage that comes with Kiko Casilla, whether that's the racism allegations or the fact that he's been quite bad at goalkeeping. It's just a very fresh young face. He reminds me of it's a little bit like when Bailey Peacock Farrell came in, and obviously I made the infamous video saying I'm not sure he's ready for the championship, but he just stood there like a massive stone-faced baby and didn't let the ball in his net for a while until it got on top of him, and then he decided.
So some people started having some shots at him.
He decided to wuss out and go and play third choice at Burnley. He's got no pressure and he's good at catching the football.
Yeah, and it does go back to what we have said before about the case for taking Bamford out of the side on more than one occasion now, is just relieving that pressure because you're not thinking about it anymore. It just resets everybody.
He doesn't look like he thinks he's playing well. And well, when he came off on Saturday, he was moaning about the referee booking him, and it had been like 15 minutes earlier. He needs... There's things, obviously. The fact he can't put the ball in the net, I think, is dwelling on him. Just get... Tyler Roberts, and it's no shame. Like, it's okay, Patrick, to not play well and just say, you know what, it's not happening for me at the moment. And if there's another player there, it's the whole point of having a squad, is that you pick the players who look like they're playing really well. And there's only one number nine at Leeds United who looks like he's playing really well at the moment. It's not Pat Bamford, it's not John Kevin Augustin either. It's not like he'll walk in the side when he's fit again. It's between... It's quite interesting that we were worried in January, you know, we've only got one striker. But now if Tyler Roberts stays fit and he keeps showing what he showed against Hull, we've got three good ones as well.
Too many! Like get rid of them! Yeah,
if Bamford's on his game, he's a good striker. And then if Tyler Roberts is on his game, we've seen it, he's a good striker. John Kevin Augustin looks good on YouTube. So absolutely happy with the striking options. Play all three. One after the other. They do that in the under 23s sometimes, where they give them each half an hour. Just make a change every 30 minutes. That'll confuse the Cowley brothers, won't it?
Last week, we brought you the treat of an extended chat with Paul Trevelyan on the Extra Ball. He's the guy who made marching on Together happen, who came up with the sock tags, the wave to the crowd, the training drills, the names on the tracksuits, all the razzmatazz. This week, given that it's 20 years since it happened, Leeds versus Roma on the Extra Ball. We do a deep dive on a different topic every single week, so by subscribing to it, you get loads more from us. And you're getting behind us too, which we really appreciate. So there's also our new quiz game, which is called The Quiz, a.k.a. Jamie McMastermind, a.k.a. Quizzy Brown. And we do welcome more suggestions for different quiz names. Loads are coming in, absolutely loads. We also bring you another bonus show in which you can come with us as we play Championship Manager 0102. We're on an adventure together as a three-way manager to right the wrongs of the Ridsdale era. There is a prize mug to be won every week as well. Sign up, enjoy your first month free, thesquareball.net/theextraball. Smiles and frowns, heroes and villains. Who's made us happy and sad then this week? Let's pick them now. First, the Ken Bates Villainy Award, named in honour of a guy who brought us plenty of misery, Kenneth Bates. He gets a nomination, or at least one of the Kens does anyway. If you've been following the podcast in recent weeks, we have been, following the fortunes and maybe even steering the fortunes of Councilman Ken Bates in Casper, Wyoming. What's he been up to, or what's the beardy one been up to?
What's he been up to is fuck all. Not only have we gone out of our way to get his Facebook followers, 132 or something he was at when we started. He's over about 770 or something he's on now. Is he interacting with anyone? No, not a single post. In 19th of Feb, his last post.
Does he not realise that we've got a podcast to pad out?
Ridiculous.
He's shirking his responsibilities.
And I had a look back. The last thing he did post, which was a picture of a thermometer saying that the temperature's really low in Casper, 51 comments he had on that. That's due to us. Thank you very much, Ken. Not a problem.
We've increased his reach, haven't we?
Not a problem. We're trying to improve your interview metrics on social media. Companies charge a fortune for this.
What does he normally get on his photos?
I look back. The previous ones, no, nothing. No comments at all. Occasionally a like. Even when he...
This is a nice photo you've cropped here, actually.
Even the one where he's got... I think it's slightly ominous, really. He's holding a cage that says, and the caption is, 2 out of 4 abandoned guinea pigs. I don't know the context of this, but he's taken to... I don't know whether he's already done something with the first two.
He's going
to
get abandoned as well.
Where are the other two?
Abandoned.
Abandoned, yeah. I mean, who knows? He's... Maybe he has some Peruvian recipe books at home or something.
If any of our stateside whites are in the Wyoming area and you've seen two guinea pigs.
Well, four.
Maybe wandering around.
Well, looks
I mean, he's grinning with sunglasses on. It's quite a sinister photo.
Can't see the eyes, can you?
But the guinea pigs are cute. You'd think that would get a lot of interaction.
You'd think, wouldn't you? But no, even animals haven't been able to drag any of Ken Bates's. I mean, I presume someone voted for him at some point, but they're not being served either. So fuck him.
Who else is your villain?
Real Betis.
Who?
Betis?
Oh, come on, what then?
Betis.
Well, I don't know. I'm fucking from Leeds.
I love some of your pronunciations. I think people think that you do it on purpose. And you don't.
Just be like Real Betis, like diabetes. I used to have a Real Betis shirt.
You used to tell everyone it was Real Betis.
It was they had green and white stripes, and it's one of those Kappa ones that had the Kappa logo in the collar.
I can picture that shirt.
Yeah, it was a great shirt. Sold it for a reasonable amount of money on eBay a long time ago. They want Marcelo Bielsa. We can fuck off. They can have Manuel Pellegrini instead. He's their second choice, so they can have him. Good news has come out of this because Phil Hay... You going to ding me?
Come on, we ain't used it yet. Spent £6 on that bloody thing. Be ready. What's wrong with you, man? If I have to tell you in future, I'm going to take it away from you.
I think it's because you pronounced Phil Hay correctly. I was assuming that I'd be Phil High or something.
By the way, you know, when I get home today, I'm going to listen to a Michael Jackson album. One of my favourite songs is Bet It. Sorry, go on.
No, when you get home, you're going to make my life a misery by filling up the WhatsApp group we used to organise the Phil Hay show with just simpering messages. Phil, have you got anything about this? One day... One day I'll expose the truth of all this. Anyway, he has done some good journalism and spoken to sources close to Bielsa, who say there's nothing in the issue of him going to Real B, and that the people who know Bielsa are convinced that if there is Premier League football at Elland Road next season, that means Bielsa at Elland Road next season, which was a concern of mine. I did in January write quite a long article outlining all my fears and theories about why he would go, and I'm very happy for Phil to smack me down and tell me I don't know what the fuck I'm talking about, because if I know Bielsa, a source close to Marcelo said, if Leeds ascend to the Premier League, then he stays.
That sounds good.
Sounds great, doesn't it? Because, I mean, that's done. The two things are happening. We're getting promoted and Marcelo Bielsa is staying. So they're not the villains. Real Betis.
To give them their full name, look.
Betis Tea Room.
Real Betis Balompi, which sounds like something you might get in the Betis Tea Room.
Very good.
I'd like a slice of Balompi, please.
Who else would you like to nominate? Oh, I want to nominate Jon Bon Jovi. Can we nominate Jon Bon Jovi?
I think you're halfway to nominating him already.
Been a distraction, hasn't it? Eye off the ball for Pat.
Well, holding his game check, and I don't know how John thinks that the football operates, that you don't get paid unless you play well. But no, is it a distraction for Pat? Did it bring about a change in form? Would you say?
I was just going to say, Balompi is apparently a Spanish for football. That's unexpected. I thought it was football. Anywho, no, he just played the same, didn't he?
Yeah, pretty much.
Who else do you want to nominate?
Big Kev for being injured. Not scoring still. We're going to basically end up spending, because if we do go up, we're obliged to buy him, aren't we? We're going to be spending £17 million on we don't know what.
Phil, did do you want to ding me? I mean, this is...
fucking Michael.
Sorry.
Your new fucking thing. I'll ding myself if it's easier. Phil.
Michael, Christ, what was the point in this investment?
£6.19 down the drain. Mentioned in one of his post-match Q&A things that although we are obligated to buy him if we go up, he is not obligated to come. Apparently, in an unusual step for modern football, he has a say, and that if he's not happy at Leeds, it doesn't seem like the personal terms and the contract agreements and all that sort of stuff is worked out to a point where he can't say, actually, you've not played me, so I'm going to Eddie Nketiah the fuck out of here and stay in Salzburg.
So if we don't want to sign him, we just need to be a real dick to him. Make sure he doesn't want to.
Leipzig. I've got my Red Bulls mixed up.
Yeah, he's not even trying to score at the minute, is he? That's the other disappointing thing.
Shocking lack of effort.
Lazing about the place.
We need to find out who his favourite pop star is and they can send him a message of support. Get, I don't know, Pat and Mick or somebody. Go on, John Kev.
Who else do you want to nominate?
Probably Kiko, I suppose. You know, has been found guilty.
It just feels, given that we deal with stuff in such a glib manner in this feature, that we probably shouldn't.
Okay, well, we won't nominate them then. We'll nominate Hull's social media, because we're sort of diminishing it by going, it's a special game, actually. Just FYI.
Yeah.
So,
that,
you know.
Those clapback tweets, I think they're good fun, but that just felt really horribly misplaced, did that?
Yeah, I mean, it's fine if it's about football or previous bragging or something, but I don't know, it feels a bit like maybe just leave this.
Yeah, some things are a little bit more serious than a banter tweet.
Mention for Fulhamish as well. Should we start a turf war, podcast turf war with Fulhamish?
I think it'll be a very soft turf war. I don't fancy any of us in a fight, really.
Well, I don't know, we sized them up at the Football Supporters Association Awards when they won Podcast of the Year and we did not.
Just because I tweeted out showing that crap refereeing by Tim Robinson, you know, at Craven Cottage, and didn't even say anything about a conspiracy, nothing like that. Lots of people in the mentions afterwards did, saying, oh, there's a, you know, but never said that. Just said, look how crap this refereeing has been in the Fulham versus Swansea game. Tim Robinson, same guy who was crap for us down there. And they've had a bit of a go at us, haven't they?
It's a fair thing to point out if the same referee is giving ludicrous penalty decisions across multiple games. I think once you can forgive, but...
Yeah, if they're all going to Fulham, then somebody needs to have a word with him. What's Fulhamish's opinion on this?
Well, I don't know.
It's fine. He was not a good referee, but it's fine.
Actually, yeah, it goes back to the partisan thing we were talking about earlier, wasn't it? That you just entrench yourself by going, this is about us, so they're in the wrong and we're right.
Thankfully, we're balanced.
It's good refereeing as long as we benefit.
The point about Tim...
A bit like the Tyler Roberts offside.
The point in Tim...
He wasn't offside.
He wasn't.
Like, on the stretch. No, I'm not. I would not.
He wasn't offside.
I mean, they're even talking about changing the rules for VAR so that sort of thing is not offside, because everybody in the world knows that should not be offside. If it was offside, the linesman would have raised his flag. That's how you know it wasn't offside.
And the other point is, if that's given offside, it's ruined the game.
Yeah.
On such a tiny, tiny thing. I know this has been done to death with VAR, but that would have really upset me, one of the goals of the season. And that's getting ruled out for a
I'm just trying to get ahead of this promotion thing by imagining all the shit stuff we'll have to contend with next season.
If that had been given offside, I would have hopped in the car and driven to the KCOM and had a quiet word.
This is what we've got to look forward to in the Premier League.
Stockley Park, actually.
It's talking about fantasy goals that we've seen go in the net but don't actually count.
Yeah.
Which happened in, this is moving the game forward about 30, 40 years, but I was quite amused that EA Sports... FIFA online had to be sorted out by rock, paper, scissors because the two players in one of the qualifying matches couldn't connect. And now they've both been banned because if you can't connect, apparently it's in the rules. And then there was another one. He's put his video of the match out of him scoring the crucial deciding goal in a penalty shootout and it goes in off the post into the bottom corner on the far side. And the computer says no, doesn't register it as a goal. Huh. And so he's out. It's fucking hilarious. But that's the future. We won't be worrying about... whether Pat Bamford can score, whether Tyler Roberts should be on, will be why has the microchip not processed the bits and bytes correctly? And
the Terminator films warned us about all this as well. But anyway, Tim Robinson, back to him for a second. He got taken off as well. Like same as after Alf game at Fulham, he got removed, didn't get a game at the weekend because of his bad decision making.
He's doing that again. Have they taken him off again?
Yeah.
So is this just until Fulham have another home match? Is that the thing?
Yes. Fulhamish. That's it, Fulhamish. That's what it is. Turf war. Pick yourself a villain.
I think Beatus. Beatus and Butthead.
Yeah, nominate. I mean, it was a nice shirt.
They need to not be sniffing around Bielsa, though.
The thing that I remember most about that shirt is it had a quite a thick cuff, but it kind of rolled over, like it got a wrinkle in it. And no matter how often I ironed it, that cuff was always wrinkled and it was annoying.
You iron football shirts?
If they've got a wrinkle in the cuff, otherwise I would have left it alone, but it was, why can't I get this weird kind of, it was like it crossed over like a Mobius strip and I couldn't get rid of it for ages, so eventually I just had to sell the thing.
And that's reason enough for me for them to have the villainy award, yeah, okay. Andy Hughes Hero Award, who's done good? Tyler Roberts, obviously.
Yeah, my new favourite player forever.
I think Meslier as well for keeping a clean sheet. And also, I don't think we've ever talked about his celebrations on the bench, have we?
Yeah, no. He's very animated.
He's been very involved in stuff, hasn't he? High-fiving people in the West Stand and jumping out of the dugout every time we score.
He's the only person who can reach over the dugouts to the people in the...
High-fiving people on the gantry.
Mr. Tickle.
There we go.
What? I didn't even say it and I got dinged.
Didn't say what?
Up yours.
Sorry, I took the wind out of your sails then because we were all getting very animated. So I just want to use the new bell because we spent £6.19 on it.
There's going to be some jokes about Liam Meslier having long arms. We should also mention that in previous podcasts, we were saying lots of good things about Tyler Roberts, that if he gets in the team, he could be a good player and he's going to be, could be better than that guy we've got up front at the moment. So
you've got an agenda, you hate him.
Even better with Tyler Roberts for making us look good. That's heroism, if nothing else. Making it seem like we know anything about football.
Click as well, I think, deserves a nod out of our current crop of players because he's done a great interview last week about what football's like as an industry, but also that he's done a goal and an assist. And he's been great and consistent and very, very good for 2 years now.
He's pretty much played every game. He kicks every ball, doesn't he? He's never off the pitch. And he's not a knobhead as well, which is always reassuring when you meet a footballer or hear of one. He talks about the money in football and how there's more than in the past and that thanks to social media, you can see more what players spend their money on. And when I see players who rent a private plane for a lot of money, basically just to fly on it and upload a photo on Instagram, it hurts. But if you spend all your pay on fashionable clothes and other nonsense, well, you're naked for the rest of the time, so it doesn't matter, basically, which is a very sensible attitude, but stronger for it. He does say that what he does spend his money on is gadgets, and he mentioned Nintendo Switch, Nintendo DS. I don't know, I mean, on footballers' wages, you can probably afford to buy one every day, can't he? But so a Switch, a DS. I even found and bought a Game Boy Advance in the Netherlands, and he used to play Mortal Kombat and Sensible Soccer. And if there is anything that is going to make me sympathetic to a footballer, it's that they used to play Sensible Soccer, because now I know that Matches Click and me have both lost hours of our lives to Sensible Soccer, and probably a lot of people listening to this as well. And the idea of him hunched over a joystick practicing Sensible Soccer makes me think I could have been a footballer as well, because I also wear glasses too. There's a lot about Matches Click that gives hope for nerdy streaks of piss who play computer games and have specs on to think, you know.
As an extension of Click, he had that little back and forth with Johnny Howson at full time at the Riverside, which we mentioned on the Match Ball. We weren't 100% sure whether what words had been said, but he confirmed on Twitter to a Polish inquiry that he was told to get it done. Johnny Houghton, get it done.
He's still a Leeds fan, isn't he, Houghton? I think it was only Ken Bates who tried to turn... Even Ken Bates trying to turn people against him didn't really work, did it? It was at the point where everyone went, fuck off, Ken, when he was like, well... And it was, no, not the time, Ken.
I was 100% certain that that was not what Johnny Houghton had said. I watched that clip and I couldn't imagine that the world was romantic enough for Houghton at the end of that game after he's lost and he's probably going to get relegated to take the time and have the thought in his mind to say the clip, make sure you get Leeds up.
Because what that says is, I don't give a shit about Middlesbrough and I love Leeds, doesn't it? That's what it
certainly
says.
I hope that's how the Middlesbrough fans have taken it. I've not searched for Houghton on Twitter lately. That might be a
mind you. Well done to Borough.
Up in the
well
Northeast.
Done to Borough. They should get a little nod as well for doing God's work, along with other teams like Wigan, Luton, Cardiff did God's work at the weekend.
I did enjoy. I think it was Woodgate after the Leeds game where he said, "People are worried about the rest of the season for us, but I see wins." That's what he said. He can see for Middlesbrough for the rest of the season. I see wins.
Very good.
I'm happy for them to win now. Now we've played them.
Yeah, they win all they want.
Win every game, Borough.
Do you want them to stay up though?
Yeah, I've no major objection to Borough. There's teams I'd rather see go down.
I mean, I'd like to see Derby and or Sheffield Wednesday get bumped in with a massive points deduction.
That'd be nice.
I mean, there was that guy with the on their YouTube channel who was outside our stadium calling it a shed and all that stuff. He turned himself into a bit of a celebrity. It would be nice to see Middlesbrough go down to League One and him to just lose interest in football.
Are you talking about AJT, the guy from Borough Fan TV?
Yes.
He's broken off, by the way. He's left. I've investigated. He's left Borough Fan TV. He's now got a breakaway YouTube channel of his own.
This is it. And he was watching Leeds games. He was doing that thing of sitting and talking into a camera while Leeds are on, wasn't he? Because people are more interested in Leeds United than Middlesbrough FC. And it's a reality he's had to face up to.
Pick yourself a winner. Pick yourself a hero from this last 7 days.
Shall we give it to little Johnny Wanny?
I feel like Tyler Roberts has done more for us.
We can give it him next week when he scored a hat-trick against Huddersfield.
Yeah, prove it. Prove it, Tyler. Stay fit.
Whereas I think there's a certain poetry as well, because if you think 10 years ago, this month, week, year, whatever, Johnny was battling to get us out of League One successfully, and we all thought that that was would be swiftly followed by a return to the Premier League. And for 10 years later, Johnny to be still there going, just please, before I retire, get them back in the Premier League. So, finish the job I started, Matthews, I beg you.
Tyler Roberts has done more for us on a like-for-like basis, but Johnny made us feel nice.
And Johnny's had this on his mind for 10 years. He'll probably, we were talking about whether...
We've helped him, if anything.
We're talking about whether Pontus Janssen will turn up for our end-of-season celebrations. Who are Middlesbrough playing that day? Is it local? Bomb down the A19, can't he? Join in. I'd be happy to see him. Bring them all back. Beckford will be there, won't he?
Coming later this week, then, the Phil Hayes Show on Friday morning. We've got a Match Ball after the Huddersfield game on Saturday. Find subscriptions to the Extra Ball and the magazine on our website, along with links to the merchandise, including our brand new Street Fighter mugs, which are selling like hotcakes as well. It's all at thesquareball.net. And thanks for listening to this one. We'll speak to you soon.
The Square Ball Podcast.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.